No reservations needed. That's what I had heard from multiple sources. Sure, you can make arrangements ahead of time, but you don't need to. The Camino is a pilgrimage route, not a vacation destination. You can just play it by ear. There will always be somewhere to stay. When I started out on my 2 weeks on the Chemin de Saint-Jacques this past summer, I made a reservation for the night before I began walking, and then nothing more. This was a new experience for me. I'm not a very rigid planner in general, but if I'm traveling, I do like to know where I'm going to be staying each night that I'm away. I decided to let that impulse go for these couple of weeks. I mean, that's what I kept hearing from everyone. Openness is part of the experience. No reservations needed. So I spent the first day on the trail. An evening rolled around, and I found myself entering a village that had several guest houses. Perfect, I thought. Time to rest for the night. I called the first place listed in my guidebook and asked for a bed. I'm sorry, sir, we're all full. Well, no problem, I thought. I went on to the next on the list. Sorry, sir, no place is available. Well, that's strange, I thought. And after two more calls like this, I started to get worried. Night was coming, and I was running out of options. The next village was 5 kilometers away, and I wasn't sure my feet were up to that. I had left my tent back home. I could feel my pulse quickening and my mind beginning to race. It's a terrible feeling to find one door closed after another. It did not take long for me to discover that virtually all of my fellow pilgrims had in fact made reservations ahead of time. Most knew exactly where they would be staying for that week and the week after, and maybe even beyond. So I joined them a couple days later and made my own arrangements as well. It was simply too stressful not to know, to keep hearing, "There's no place for you here." It was a very small window for me into the familiar Christmas story, Mary and Joseph entering Bethlehem at the time of the census and finding no room at the inn. It's a small detail, but it is an important one, I think. Imagine how different the story would sound if Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem and had reservations in place. Imagine if they were granted the very best room in town, specially prepared and waiting for them. That might make a certain kind of sense to us. This is the Holy Family, after all. They deserve the very best, right? It might make sense, but the Christmas story doesn't conform to our expectations. It is messy and uncomfortable, and it matters that when Mary and Joseph arrived in town, there was no place for them to stay. It matters because from the very beginning, Jesus and his family identify with those who struggle to find a place. I am not talking about people like me who could not easily find a room one night on their sabbatical. I'm talking about people who truly live on the edge of things, who find doors closed everywhere they look, who are told again and again, "There is no place for you here." The refugee family finding no welcome. The unemployed father finding one rejection after another. The searching teenager finding no affirming community. The wanderer finding no stable home. In Jesus, God came to share our human life in all that it is, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the painful. Here at the start, Jesus and his family shared in this particular experience. They knew the worry and the fear and the panic that come to those who are running out of options. They knew what it was like to be told, "There's no place for you here." That's one reason I think it matters that no place is prepared for Mary and Joseph and their child. From the beginning, they are in solidarity with those who are rejected or left out. But there is another reason besides, and it feels poignant to me this year. The world and our lives can feel very crowded sometimes, like a town bursting at the seams. Amidst all the noise and all the distraction and all the injustice and all the hurt, it can feel like there is no room for Jesus to be born. Do you know what I mean? You don't need me to tell you that much in our world feels very fragile and uncertain right now. Wars continue to grind on. Too many leaders play on their people's worst fears and scapegoat those who are different. Deep divisions strain the fabric of many societies. Cooperation and the will to collaborate seem to be eroding everywhere in favor of going it alone. Where is there space for the Prince of Peace in all this mess? Where is there space for hope? Where is there space for Jesus? We sometimes talk about Advent as a season of preparation, a time when we are preparing a space for Jesus in our own lives. And that sounds good and all. I support that. But what if you didn't perfectly undertake all of that preparation this year? What if you didn't manage to sweep out all of the cluttered corners of your heart and renew your prayer life and complete your Thanksgiving list and adopt 3 new spiritual practices in time for Christmas? What if this holiday finds you fearful or grieving or uninspired or otherwise feeling completely and totally unprepared? Sometimes life is like that. And I want to tell you, friends, that there is good news for you here. Because there was no room for Jesus in the inn, but he was born anyway. Nobody had adequately prepared for this. Not the emperor on his throne ordering people to move at his command. Not the people of Bethlehem simply going about their daily lives. Not the shepherds in the fields minding their own business as usual. No one had prepared a place. No one was waiting for an infant king to be born to an unmarried poor couple from a no-name town on the edge of the empire. No one was ready for what God was up to. And yet Jesus came, like lights suddenly bright in the darkened heavens, like the surprise of an angel chorus, like good news so good you had never even dared to hope for it. Today is born to you, in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Though no one was prepared, he came with the reality of an infant stretching his muscles for the first time, taking his very first breath of air, crying out with a brand new set of pipes. To a world that had no room for him, to lives that had no room for him, Jesus came. And so he continues to come to our messy world and our messy lives. He does not wait until we are good and ready, until we've got his place expertly prepared, until we can see just how he fits into the picture. No, Christmas doesn't depend on us at all, in fact. Jesus' coming doesn't depend on us. He comes as a gift, pure and simple, as the promise of God, sharing our life, naming us beloved, holding us close. So if it feels like there is no room for Jesus this year, take heart. We've been here before, and it has not stopped him from coming. He'll be born wherever he can find space, maybe in out-of-the-way places, maybe in spots we would never think to look, in rooms that hardly seem honorable or proper enough for God to be showing up. But he'll be there, again, like he always is, beside those left out or turned away, beside those who are weary, and with us too, assuring us that the home of God is among mortals, that love has found us and will never let us go. Thanks be to God. Amen.